different portions of Scripture.
Romans chapter number 8, 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Romans 8, 2 Corinthians 2. Last Sunday I preached from the verse of Scripture found in Psalm 30, where David said, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And I thank God for the joy that is ours as Christians tonight. We used to sing the chorus as young people, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." Did you ever sing that? "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Fourfold joy." And I thought, that's the joy of sins forgiven. That's the joy of being born again. That's the joy of Christian fellowship. That's the joy of experiencing eternal life. And add one to that, if I may, tonight, it's the joy of having a home awaiting us in glory. Brother, this is not all of life. There's something about living for God that is joy. Joy, 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 joy down in my heart. There's joy in serving the Lord. And tonight I want to follow up on last week's sermon with two familiar New Testament scriptures, one in Romans 8 and the other in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Yesterday morning when Brother Bruce asked us to give a scripture text or a favorite or something, I mentioned the 8th chapter of Romans, the 31st verse. It says, "What shall we then say to these things?" And what's the rest of it? "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Now, I want that to be, I want us to settle that in our hearts right now. If God be for us, who can be against us? He is for us, regardless of what we're going through, regardless of the enemy that might be against us. God is for us, and if He's for us, brother, we're winning. And the Bible says that God is with us. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always." I want you to know right now, the Lord is right there with you. You believe that? Surely. He said, "I'll never leave." He came alongside. The Holy Spirit came alongside when we got saved. He's the Paraclete. He came with us. The Holy Spirit comes within our lives. And He goes with us. And everyone understand tonight, not only is the Lord for us, He's with us. And this morning I preach Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's for us. He's with us. He's in us. Now you can't get any better than that. And then I thought, when I mentioned about He is with us, I thought, yes, He's with us in the good times, in the bad. He's with us on the mountain. He's with us in the valley. He's with us in times of hardship and suffering, even like they have in the wedding ceremony. He's with us in sickness and in health. He's with us all the time. What a Savior. And then I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul had written a letter. He had heard some things from the people at church in Corinth. And there were some things that were going on that Paul was disturbed about. Sin had made its way into the Christian church, Pentecostal church, a Pentecostal holiness church, not by name, but Paul had taught sanctification and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and many of them experienced those things, but sin had gotten into the church. There was a man that had committed incest, and when Paul heard it, he gave directions as to how the Christian brother was to be disciplined. And they went about obeying what Paul had said, and now he's heard that this man that had done the sin, and now he has repented of his sins. Now Paul writes the second letter to the Corinthians, and he starts out by letting them know, now that the brother that has done wrong, and you have disciplined him and obeyed the word of God, and he has repented of his sins and returned to the Lord, now I want you to embrace him and treat him like a brother. He's come back. The Lord has accepted him back. And thank God. And so when you come to the last part of the 14th verse, Paul says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ." Let me say that again. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ." Years ago, I don't remember how many years ago, I used that text for a sermon. Maybe some of you remember.
And as I mentioned last Sunday, the words of David, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's an encouraging thought when you're going through a hard place, when you're going through a difficult time, when there's trouble and trial and hardships and suffering. I thank God for the hope that is ours. We can look forward to the Lord coming on the scene. It gives us hope for a better day. But tonight, I want to go one step further than what David said in the Old Testament. I want to add my words or my thoughts to the Apostle Paul. In essence, he said, victory doesn't have to wait until the morning. Victory is ours now. Victory is ours tonight. Victory is ours always. We are always triumphant. We are always victorious in Christ. Without Him, we lose. Without Him, we fail. Without Him, we're lost, like Brother James would testify. Without the Lord, we can't make it. But with Christ, we are always triumphant. And as I thought about that, that means now, tonight. That means when I wake up tomorrow morning and you wake up tomorrow morning and young people go off to school and you go off to work or you go about your daily chores, I want you to know the Lord said, I will be there because, and you will be triumphant then. Whatever you face in life. In fact, according to the Bible promise, it's whenever and wherever you might be that we are always victorious and triumphant in the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to use some words from a hymn that we were singing when I was a youngster. From the hymn book it says, Victory Ahead. And that's a good song. And it mentions the children of Israel. And I picture them in that hymn and what it says in that verse. I picture the children of Israel after they have come out of the wilderness. And they come across the Jordan River. And they've gotten the directions as to what they're to do. They're to march around the city of Jericho. One time the first day. Another time the second day. Another time the third day. Until the seventh day, and on the seventh day march around it seven times. And I like to think about this right now. As they were marching around the Jericho on that seventh trip around, I believe that they were awaiting the signal to begin to shout to take the city because they believed what God had said, and they were just waiting for Joshua to give them the sign. It's time to shout. Let me say this tonight. They shouted before the walls came down. Anybody can shout after the walls come down. But to shout before the walls come down is victory in the Lord. Amen. I read on. He said about David and how his faith, how that he went out to meet Goliath the giant. When he went down to the camp and heard the giant as he was blaspheming God and making fun of Saul's army, and as David went out to face him, he went down into the valley. And he picked up five stones there by the water brook. Five smooth stones. And you've heard it as well, maybe as anyone else. Why did David have a lack of faith that it was going to take five stones to kill the giant? I've heard somebody say no. So they asked, why then did he take five stones? He said, one for the giant and four for his brothers. Now, I don't know whether that's not in the Bible. But he went down the valley, got those stones, and he went out to face Goliath. And the Bible says he defeated him. Why? Because we are always triumphant in the Lord. Then I read about Daniel being cast into the lion's den. Yonder in the book of Daniel, he prayed. He's in touch with heaven. He's in touch with God. I believe this. I have no record in the Bible that God said, Daniel, I'm going to bring you out. I believe this. Daniel believed that God was going to bring him out. That's what I think. He had faith. And when the king went the next morning, having spent a sleepless night, didn't want Daniel to be in the lion's den in the first place, hoping that he was alive, and he cried, oh, Daniel, is your God, was your God Abel? And I hear Daniel cry out from the lion's den, oh, king, live forever. God's a good God. You know what I'm saying tonight? We are always triumphant in Christ.
whatever comes our way, we are victorious in the Lord. On each of these occasions, the faith of these people was anchored in the promises of God. They believed he would be true to his word. Whatever God has said, they believed it would come through. And even though the final outcome of the situation was yet ahead, was yet before them, they had the assurance in their heart that victory was theirs. And I'm going to say tonight, we have the same assurance tonight. We are victorious. Our choir sings from time to time, we are victorious. And brother, I'm saying tonight, that's more than we're going to be victorious. We are tonight. I'm standing before you, a man that loves God, a man that has served God. I have faltered and failed sometimes, but I love God tonight. But I say this with all of my heart, and I mean it out of the depths of my soul. We are victorious whatever happens. Yes. Think of the most difficult time of your Christian life. Whatever you were going through, at that very moment in Christ, you were victorious. If we can get that in our minds, if we can get that in our hearts, brother, we've got something to shout about. We've got something to rejoice about. Victory! Oh, victory in Jesus! We sung that song for years. It's still real. Thank God. Thank God. Always triumph. And I want to take that word triumph to begin with. It suggests that if we're going to be triumphant, there will be a battle. As Christians, we are engaged in a warfare. I'll tell you when it started. It started when you made your way to the altar. Whether it was in your home or wherever it was. When you determined in your heart that you will give your life to the Lord, a warfare began. In fact, before you ever made it to the altar, the devil was already trying to get you to turn around. And I don't want to shock anyone, but if you live to be 100 and serve the Lord for 75 years, there will be a battle the whole time. The enemy will see to it that there is a battle. But the word triumph, we are always triumphant in Christ, means that there will be battles. We are always going to win. Now, I've mentioned this before. The Jones boys, we loved to play ball. We weren't anything fancy. We didn't have any fancy ballparks or basketball courts. You ought to see where we played basketball, down in the woods in the thicket. Cleared out a place and had a barrel hoop on a pine tree. That's rough playing. And we played roughneck. We didn't know anything about basketball. Just tried to get it in that basket, best way you could. Ever how many of you knocked down to get there? But we loved to play ball. And I can remember growing up, us boys, four of us, we'd play baseball, we'd play softball, we'd play basketball, we'd play football. We didn't play soccer back then, didn't know a thing about it. But I thought I never knew. I don't care who was on my side or I was on whose side. We never knew who was going to win. We weren't the fancy business that no one wins. Have you heard of that? That's about as nonsense as I've ever seen. We don't want to keep score because somebody might be affected. Brother, I'm in this thing to win. And I didn't know who was going to win. Anytime we picked up teams and we began to play, I didn't know who was going to win. I didn't know how the outcome was going to be. But when I got saved, when I read the Bible, I found out that I was on the winning side. I don't ever have to lose. Hallelujah. I've lost in a mental battle out there on the battlefield, but I've never had to lose a battle serving God. And I want to leave with you tonight. You don't have to lose. Aren't you glad? We're always triumphant in Christ. We are victorious, hallelujah. We are the children of God. We are not defeated. We're going over to the other side.
by the grace and the help of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. In order to have a triumph, there must be a battle. I'm going to share some of the scriptures tonight, and some of those are my favorite. I want to go back to the 8th chapter of Romans. If God be for us, who can be against us? Paul said, if God is fighting alongside of us, if God is fighting with us, in this battle we cannot lose. And I say, thank God, every time Satan comes against me, the Lord is right there with me. I cannot lose. Hallelujah. As a Christian, we have the promise in Isaiah 54. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Hallelujah. Another scripture in the 59th chapter of Isaiah. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up and lift up a standard against him. What are you saying, Brother Jones? We can't lose for winning. If we'll stay with the Lord, if we'll stay on the side of the Lord, we cannot lose. Man, I think sometimes that goes right over our head. We don't even realize what we have in the Lord. My. Thank God. I want you to underline that verse in the Bible. Maybe underline both of them. Romans 8:31 and 2 Corinthians 2:14a. For we are always triumphant in Christ. Man, you can't beat that. Hallelujah. Thank God. Always triumphant. In the 8th chapter of Romans, the 37th verse, many of you probably know that the 8th chapter of Romans is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. In that 37th verse, Paul said, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And then he goes on to say some things. Listen closely. He says these things in which we are more than conquerors. It includes tribulation. It includes distress. It includes persecution. It includes famine. It includes nakedness. It includes peril. It includes the sword. It includes whatever. And notice it in it. Well, not only are we victorious, not only are we conquerors, we are more than conquerors. And I want to pause right there tonight, and I'm going to confess, I do not know how to explain that. That's beyond my interpretation and my comprehension. I know what it means to be victorious. I know what it means to be a conqueror. I know what it means to be triumphant, but to be more than a conqueror, brother, I can't explain it. That's almost like saying winning, but more than winning. Being triumphant, but being more than triumphant. Being a conqueror, but more than conquerors. I believe the Lord is trying to tell us there's more within us than He lives within the world. We're victorious in Him. The question is, or the key tonight that this is, to stay in Christ. Always be in Christ. Obey the Lord. Serve the Lord. Believe the Lord. We are always triumphant, and we're more than conquerors. The 1 John chapter 4 verse 4 says, and the Spirit speaks of the spirit of the Antichrist that was in the world at that time, that's trying to destroy the church, even that's in infancy. Bible says, John said, greater is He that's within you than he that is within the world. I mentioned this morning, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me say that again from John's writing. He says, greater is He that's within you than he that's within the world. Brother Lou, tonight, the devil will try, even in your sleep, to try to bring things into your mind that will disturb you, that will bother you, that will hinder you. And everyone here tonight, the devil will try everything he can to bring you down and to cause you to be weakened and to be destroyed. But I want everyone to know tonight, if you're saved by the blood, greater is He that's within you than he that's within the world. Amen. Satan cannot defeat. Satan cannot win the victory if Christ lives in you. Greater is He that's within you than he that's within the world. Now, that's good sermon material right there. My. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Always triumphant in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is He that's within you than he that's within the world. Can I ask you the question? Who? Who is in the world? Who is out there to try to tear down and destroy? Who's out there trying to bring you down? Who's out there fighting against you day by day by day? Who's out there trying everything he can to destroy your family and take your children and all the rest? Who is it? Whoever it is, whatever power Satan has, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? Man, these are good scriptures. They bless your heart. Thank God. I want to turn to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It's the resurrection chapter. It said in the 51st verse, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Amen. This mortal body, this body of flesh and blood, hallelujah, is going to have a transformation. This body of flesh and blood, this mortal shall put on immortality. This mortal body of flesh and blood is going to have a change, the Bible says. And when that day comes, we're going to have a body, listen closely, we're going to have a body just like that of the Lord. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I'm going to break it down to Jones theology. We shall not all die, but we shall, if we serve God, we shall be changed. Now, I want to testify. I got saved, my wife and I, in 1955. And that year, I turned 24 years of age. I wasn't quite 24 when I got saved. And all of these years, all that Satan has tried to do, everything that he's brought against us and you, Paul is saying, how that greater is he that's within us and he that's within the world, and we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. And I'm going to testify. When I went to the altar that Sunday night in Mountain Home, Idaho, 1955, in the month of February, I believed that it was not going to be long, the Lord was coming. From 1955 till tonight is 57 years. I believe when God called me to preach that it was coming soon. We started the first church in Chula Vista, and I preached, and family got saved, some others got saved, and I told you the story how that the family from Texas, one Sunday night or one night, they were leaving Arizona, they were going to Texas to Houston, to Dieball, a small rural area outside of Houston. And I preached on the coming of the Lord and the nearness of the coming of the Lord. And these were young converts. And as they were driving across east or west Texas, coming across New Mexico and across west Texas and the wide open spaces, and he said that as they were driving, suddenly the moon came out from behind the cloud, bright, beautiful. And he said the first thing they thought, the Lord was going to step out from behind that cloud and shout. And they were going, let me tell you, they were young converts. You know what they did? Pulled over to the side of the road. Got out of the car, expecting the Lord to step out from behind that cloud. That was in the early 60s. One of these nights, one of these days, he's going to step out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We shall not all sleep. Now, all of these years, since I got saved, just before I was 24 years of age, I have believed, I have thought, I have hoped, I have prayed that I would be alive when the trumpet sounded. I have asked God to let me live until the rapture. I want to be here when the rapture takes place. But I realize, and I can use some common sense, I hope they're common sense, with our age, if he doesn't come soon, we're going by the way of the grave. And some of you, I've always hoped that I would be alive when the trumpet sounded. But I've read that 51st verse of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. If he doesn't come in my lifetime. And they put our bodies out there in Peninsula Funeral Home. When the trumpet sounds, he's going to call us. And we're going to come out of that grave. And he goes on to say, Paul goes on to say, and John goes on to say, we're not going to all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And if my wife and I go by the way of the grave and we sleep, we die. And our bodies go back to the dust. When that trumpet sounds, brother, we're going to have a new body. And if you're still living, and maybe some of you will be, I hope all of us will be, but if you're still living when the trumpet sounds, and you say, God, brother, you're going to be changed, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, we're going to lay aside this mortal flesh and blood, and we're going to put on immortality. Hallelujah. We're going to lay aside this corruptible flesh and put on incorruption. Amen. We're going to have a new body, and the Bible says we're going to be like Him. That one statement ought to be enough for us to rejoice about. We're going to be like the Lord. Never any more suffering, never any more pain, never any more enemies, never any more sickness, never any more of that, brother. We're going to be with the Lord forever with a brand new body. There's enough here to shout about all year. Thank God, thank God. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And then I went on in the chapter, and I came to the 57th verse, and it said, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us. I am not an English scholar. I don't even claim to be anything like that. But when it says God that giveth us the victory, Paul is not saying that God is going to give it. God has given it. He's saying God giveth us in the present tense. He gives us the victory right now. In the service. Around the communion table tonight. Now. The victory is ours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 57th verse. 1 Corinthians. Thank God. Thank God. We are victorious. We are more than conquerors. We are on the side with God. We are winners and cannot be defeated in Christ. We are triumphant in Christ. We are those children that Moses talked about. We are on our way to the other side with victory. He always causes us to triumph. The victory over the enemy, and I'm going to close in a few moments. The victory over sin, the victory over Satan is ours, regardless of the occasion or the situation. We are victorious. We sing a song. We've sung it since I was a boy. Standing on the promises. I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. If that's your testimony tonight, you are victorious. If you'll stand on the promises. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. And I'm closing. I want us to tonight, we're going to gather at the table of the Lord. And I want everyone to understand tonight, we're coming to give thanks. We're coming to give thanks. First of all, to give thanks to Jesus for taking our place on Calvary. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Jesus is the one that did that. When we come tonight to the communion table to partake of the supper, thank the Lord for dying on the cross for us. I don't know about you, but that's more than I can comprehend. Why would He love me the way that I was living Brother James, and I believe the same way you were raised, I was raised. How could he could love me after I turned my back on God and went back into sin? How he could love me enough to invite me to come back. When we come to the table tonight, I want to thank him for dying for me. For going to the cross of Calvary for me. I want to thank him for what he's done in our lives. My family and yours. Some of us sometimes maybe don't find it easy to stand up and to testify. But I really believe this. If we would, that each one of us could stand tonight and begin to tell what God has done, and it seemed like they wouldn't find any end. Something else, and something else, and something else. And when we go back to the day we got saved, and from then till now, now I like to sit here on this pew. When I come out here to pray, I like to sit there sometimes and just think about what God has done. Brother, he's been a good God. He's been a good God. Thank him tonight when we come. What he's done in your life. What he's done in your family. Thank him for his love. Thank you for his mercy. Thank him for being so good to each of us. Thank him for what he's doing and blessing you and your family and the church. And although I preached about the Lord giving victory now, I'm going to close and my wife is coming to the piano. When we gather tonight for the Lord's Supper, this do in remembrance of me. As often as we come to the table, we remember Jesus and what he's done. One other thing I want to leave with this congregation. I'm going to thank God tonight because I want to thank him for what I know is just ahead for me. I know what is out there for me. I know there's a home prepared. I know there's a place in glory that is mine. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I want to thank him tonight for loving me enough to prepare a place for me on the other side. We've never owned but one home, one house in all of our married life. I didn't think we were going to be able to afford the one that my wife picked out. But God worked it all out. Been paid for a long time now, and I give God the glory, but I close with this. My home on the other side will be without any mortgage payments, without any insurance. It cost us over $1,200 this week for property taxes and real estate tax for 6 months. And I thought, that's when I get to heaven, I'm not going to get a bill. Don't you want to go? I want to thank him tonight. When we gather here at the table of the Lord, I want to thank him for being so good. If he never does another thing for us, he's been a good God. Will you stand together with me? Hallelujah.